This is the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. We are officially at the midpoint of the season. The All-Star break is upon us. Got some Diamondbacks playing in the All-Star game this week and looking forward to seeing them rep Arizona in Washington, D.C. 53 wins, 44 losses, excuse me, here at the break. It's tied for the most wins in team history, which they had 53 wins also in 2017. So we know what happened in 2017, a pretty good season there. 53 wins here at the All-Star break. We've got some guys who have had some record years. We've seen a lot of good stuff out of here. Archie Bradley's got 26 holds, which is apparently the most by a major league pitcher before the All-Star break since that stat was created in 1969. Seen great stuff out of him, seen great stuff out of Paul Goldschmidt, seen some great stuff out of this starting rotation. We've seen quite a bit of injuries, but been able to bounce back, had the depth. We've talked a lot about that outfield depth and just depth all around the field here for the Diamondbacks. Let's start out by talking about kind of who your surprise guy, who surprised you the most this first half of the season, Jordan?
I would say David Peralta, and David Peralta's power numbers. We've seen him be able to find a way on base, be the top of the order type guy for the Diamondbacks the past really 3 or 4 years when he's healthy. He's had a little bit of an injury bug here and there, but really, he's on a record pace in terms of his power numbers. I believe his career high is 19 home runs. He has 16 at the break, 53 RBIs. That leads the team. 282 batting average. That's right there, second on the team, right behind AJ Pollock. And he's been the guy that, if you put him up at the top of the lineup, he can produce there. If you have to drop him to 4 or 5 to protect Goldschmidt if Steven Souza is out or Jake Lamb struggling or has been out as well, he's a guy that's been able to kind of slide all over. And I feel like he's really been the X factor offensively for this baseball team.
You know, we didn't sit here and discuss who you're going to save for these players. Mine was going to be David Peralta, so I'm going to come out here and just kind of pull one out. And I mean, I had a backup, so we'll just go with that.
Okay.
But I totally agree with you, David Peralta, and I don't think it's so much of a surprise. I wouldn't necessarily call him my surprise player. That was a point I was going to make. But I think it was surprising how you mentioned those power numbers.
Right.
How those power numbers came out.
Yeah, we all knew he was going to be a very productive player.
And he's one of those key players in the lineup.
Yeah, and if this offense was going to be successful, he would have to have a good year, and we've seen that. But again, it's the way that he's been able to do it.
Exactly. So for me, it's going to be John Ryan Murphy as my surprise. I mean, the way he's come out and just kind of we've talked about that three-catcher rotation that the Diamondbacks have, and he's kind of separated himself from the other two. I mean, Jeff Mathis is his pairing with Zach Greinke, like, really, really like that. But John Ryan Murphy has been able to come in, and he's been able to have that connection with these pitchers, and he's also been able to come in and produce at the plate. And I don't think after seeing him join the Diamondbacks last year and seeing him kind of come out and get things started here and get acclimated in Arizona, that's not necessarily something I expected him to come out and just have such a good stretch there. I mean, I think it was in middle of June that he was just on fire, just hitting the ball like crazy. So I think he's definitely my surprise. If I had to say, like, wow, this guy's really surprising, he's definitely been my surprise. But again, David Peralta's those power numbers, that's been the surprise there for me.
And the common theme with those two guys, I actually talked to them on their last home game before they went on their road trip and are headed into the All-Star break now. Both of them made adjustments in their launch angles. You hear that buzzword around baseball.
Those analytics.
Yep, the analytics. But those are two guys that really did adjust the launch angles, and you're seeing those power numbers explode for both of them.
Who is someone, as we mentioned, we are here at the All-Star break, 53 and 44. Who is someone that you're really looking for more out of in this second half?
My guy is, I think a big part of it is getting injured early in the year, kind of having to play a little bit of catch up, but Jake Lamb.
Great minds think alike. There we go again.
We've seen what he can do, especially in the first half. The 2 years leading into this, he was on fire in the first half and kind of had to kind of tapered off in that second half. But he struggled a little bit more this year. And you haven't really seen kind of the same oomph that he had the past 2 years, batting .229, 6 home runs, 28 RBIs. And again, this is, I think, other teams playing to the matchup The splits show that he hits right-handers a lot better than he does left-handers. While he is continuing to improve in that realm, and Torrey Lovello has said, the only way that that's going to continue to improve is to get more reps in-game action against left-handed hitters. But if you have this lineup right now, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a J.D. Martinez-type trade that happens in the second half for the Diamondbacks. I would say right now the Diamondbacks have an outside shot at Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at the other teams that can. And we talked a lot about it last time. Just the package that they could give the Baltimore Orioles. I get the feeling the Orioles really want to go prospect heavy. And that's where these other teams might have the advantage over the Diamondbacks. But seeing what Jake Lamb can do, you're going to need him to be paired up with Paul Goldschmidt, with A.J. Pollock, with David Peralta, with potentially Steven Souza as he gets back into the swing of things as well, to really have that top five or six in that lineup that really can help push them over the edge in a very competitive NL West where there are four teams within four games of that top spot.
You mentioned Steven Souza Jr., and that's who I'm going to go with here. Again, the injury stuff, it's not so much, I guess, when we mention who are you looking for more out of, it's not in a negative connotation here because obviously the injuries with Souza Jr. Right. have been there as well. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can bring in the second half, staying healthy. I mean, we saw some glimpses here in the last couple weeks since he's came back up off the DL. That glimmer of, okay, like, he can make an impact in this lineup too. I really liked what they've gotten out of John Jay out there in the outfield. Seeing AJ Pollock come back. Looking forward to that. So really seeing how they kind of rotate that outfield. I mean, Jarrod Dyson, Chris Owens. Chris Owens, we have talked about how he in center field is extremely underrated. Seeing just kind of how the outfield, so I guess maybe it's seeing more out of how Torrey Lovello is going to utilize all of these guys. That's what I'm looking forward to in the second half as well.
Right, and that's something that he did talk about kind of going into the All-Star break as well. David Peralta coming off a 5-for-6 night in that 20-run game that the Diamondbacks had. The next day he was benched. And Lovello kind of very candidly said, like, look, I have 5 or 6 outfielders I need to get rotated through.
Right.
David wasn't thrilled about it, but he understood. So that's something that I think the Diamondbacks culture, he's really gotten everybody to buy in as well.
And they understand that. And he sits them down and he has these conversations. It's not like they're surprised. He
right.
talks them through it, and they understand, and that's such a good quality to have.
But also, with this outfield now, its at-bats are even going to be even more at a premium. So
right.
it'll be interesting to see. We know how meticulous Lovello is with how he really negotiates and navigates everything as a manager. So it'll be interesting to see how he's able to do this in the second half. All right, so now that I have stolen both of your answers, let's flip it to pitching, and I will do the ask and let you get first hack for the pitchers of who has been the pleasant surprise or the overall positive pitcher when you think Diamondbacks pitching.
You know, I know exactly what you're going to say, so I'm going to save it here, and I'm not going to say who you're going to say, but I'm going to keep it general here and just kind of talk about in general the surprise. I guess it's not a surprise. I really liked Yoshi Hirano. I think he's been absolutely excellent. But what I'm looking for more out of is those setup guys. I think there's kind of been a glitch a little bit there where you've got, I mean, Zach Greinke had an absolutely phenomenal start in his last start before the All-Star break. We saw that looking for more out of Greinke, looking for more of that from last week out of Greinke. Obviously, with Shelby Miller going down again, hate to see that. Know how hard he's worked to get back to that point. Some of the stuff I was seeing on social media.
Where he's at, injury-wise, at least.
Correct. And some of the stuff I was seeing on social media in response to that news was absolutely just like, okay, I want to see you try to come off of an injury and get back into it. It was brutal.
It was crazy because I think actually both of us were at a game separately as fans on June 30th, the San Francisco game where he started.
Yes.
That was his second start, and he was already getting boos in the third or fourth inning when he was struggling. And I was like,
but the thing that surprised me the most is like there was still good stuff from him.
Right.
So it was just so confusing to me. And then that news, it was like, just get rid of him. And it's like, okay, that was his fourth start, right? Coming back. And yeah, he wasn't looking great, but
yeah, he's only had 4 starts on the year.
Unbelievable.
Referencing the game that we were both at, that was his second start of the year. So yeah, I think people do need to pump the brakes with really anyone who has Tommy John surgery, apparently.
Come on, people.
Because, yes, and I know Shelby Miller came with a high asking price.
Right.
I know that was also the previous regime of the Diamondbacks that made that deal. I know that there's some pressure on him, and he certainly feels that. He's been very candid. I think he's handled all of this really well. The results haven't been there on the field. Everyone can admit that. He can admit that. But
and he owns up to that, yeah.
And we'll see where he's at. If it isn't a long-term injury, we'll see. Again, still, the diagnosis isn't quite out there yet.
I'm getting a second opinion.
But it's elbow inflammation, which is not a good sign when you have Tommy John. But with the way this rotation is going, could you potentially – do you have him go down to Reno? Do you have him maybe do an Archie Bradley? Become a short reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can really do that mid-season.
Right.
But you have a model in how to be a successful reliever when making the transition from a starter in Archie Bradley. So it can be done. I think he can still be a useful piece to this ball club, just maybe not given the situation that it is right now.
Getting back on topic here a little bit, though.
Yes.
We
haven't talked in a while.
That setup, like that setup area, I just think we've seen that, the glimpses of it, and I mean, we didn't see a lot of Shelby Miller. We've seen some iffy, not great, great stuff out of Patrick Corbin. I think we've seen some recently great stuff out of Zach Godley. So that's there for him.
Godley's really turned it around nicely.
These starters are, some of them were rocking, some of them were not, and that setup guy, like I said, I just think there's a little bit of a glitch there, but I know that you've got a setup guy that you really, really like.
I have been high on him all year, and just one other point. I think for the most part, these setup guys have worked nicely, and even the way Lavello has talked about just rolling the game back, where it's
you have
Boxberger in the ninth, okay, you have Archie in the eighth, or wherever the big bats are, you have Yoshi in the seventh. Like, it's worked out really nicely for the most part. There have been a couple glitches, and I think also...
And I think the glitch comes when your starter doesn't go as long as you're hoping he does.
Right.
That's what I'm trying
And that'll happen, and I think also where they had...
Those long innings
two
where
crazy
you got
long
Alex
games.
Avila and Daniel Descalzo.
Yeah, and Jeff Mathis almost struck out Will Myers. That was the weirdest baseball game I've ever been to. Anyway, okay. So my guy, yes, I am... obvious, TJ McFarland.
This guy has
been so versatile. When he left the game, I think that could be a big hit if he has to miss a long amount of time, because he has been able to be that versatile guy. Like you said, when the starters aren't able to go deep, you're able to have him. There's been multiple times he's had at least three or four inning outings where he may be gassed the rest of the week, but the bullpen is still intact for the future games. They may not be able to come back and win that game, but they're then set up really nicely. He can also come in and get you one out if you need him to. He utilizes the sinker really well. 1.181 ERA, 31 strikeouts. I feel like has just been so consistent, so underrated. I would even say he's the MVP of the bullpen. And I know there are some really good candidates in there, but I would make the case for that, because he's been able, just because of his versatility.
59.2 innings there.
Yeah. He's thrown a ton of innings and just has been able to, you know, kind of been the pseudo spot guy when things go wrong, either injury-wise or, you know, the starters aren't able to really get it going early. He's been the one that's been able to kind of clean it up nicely and, I think, provide a lot of flexibility for Torey Lovello.
And he's got that strained neck, so he's kind of taking some precautionary measures there. If you were to kind of structure your ideal lineup for the second half, granted, we just mentioned the outfield depth and switching things up there, but what is your ideal lineup? Who's your ideal starter? What do you got there?
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is on the fly here.
I'll start defensively. I think left field, David Peralta.
Okay.
Gosh, this is...
I'm just going to echo you on this. This is so tough.
Just because it also goes into, you know, who they're playing and left-hand and, you know, lefty-righty splits, that sort of thing. But I would say
I'm going to agree with you on David Peralta in left field. That's why
The hardest two in this outfield group to take at-bats away from is David Peralta and A.J. Pollock.
Correct.
That being said, you need to make sure they're fresh, and especially a guy like A.J. Pollock, who has had a history of injuries, you need to make sure he's fresh for a playoff push.
Are you putting Gerard Dyson or Chris Owings in his spot if he has an off day?
Probably John Jay.
John Jay, okay.
Yeah, John Jay would probably be my first guy. Yeah, in center field.
Okay.
And then I think you need to just continue to get Souza at bats. So you have him in right field. You went out and made that move to make sure that you had that power hitter in the lineup, make sure he's in the lineup. He also plays an above average and I think underrated outfield. Mm-hmm. So I think across the board, those are the three. But again, you have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to outfielders that you can plug in, and you know you have really versatile and established outfielders that can come in if need be. First base, obviously, Paul Goldschmidt.
Never would have guessed that.
Right. I think probably second base I'd go to Scalzo.
Okay.
Shortstop, Ketel Marte.
Okay. I like that.
I think Marte, he's shown those flashes. And Nick Ahmed, again, a great platoon partner to have. But if you're going maybe, you know, that one game where you want to have this really established lineup,
right,
you go with him.
Agree with you.
Third base, I still think Jake Lamb, even though he has been struggling, he's shown those flashes of being really good. He had a stretch where he was hitting 380 mm-hmm. over the course of 10 games. Behind the plate,
I'm interested to hear this one.
This might depend who's your pitcher.
Okay. Well, should you go pitcher and then catcher here first?
I guess so.
Okay, let's do that.
Based on what I've seen recently, and again, you have plenty of really good options. I'd go Zach Greinke.
Okay.
I think as of late, he's been your best pitcher, and he's really pieced together some really nice starts.
Which, speaking of that, Zach Greinke, just period. Did you hear about him walking in the clubhouse announcing his All-Star
yes.
selection? I want to point out here that not only is Zach Greinke obviously kind of turning his season around after a really bad spring training, and he's come out and had some really great starts, but he's also changing his, like, persona. His, like,
yeah.
I don't even know. I can't find the words. Like, the way he shows himself to the public. Like,
yeah.
I mean, granted, that was just the guys and some media that were in the locker room, but maybe Zach Greinke is contributing to mound presence.
That's the most I've seen him talk, like, publicly, even to multiple teammates. All since covering him.
Yeah.
Cool. So, but yeah, going back to it, let's see. You go back. His last five starts, he has given up less than three runs. In four of those, he has gone at least six innings. So he's been lights out. And they've won, let's see, I'm counting on air, which is great. He's won five of his last six starts. Or the Diamondbacks have won five of his last six yes. starts. So he's been a nice stopper. Again, Patrick Corbin is an all-star and deservedly so. Struggled his last start, but has been really good as well. Robbie Ray is starting to piece it together. A healthy Clay Buchholz, I think, could be in the running as well. Mm-hmm. I'm probably stealing from you now.
No, I was – so for the most part, we've lined up pretty well there, I mm-hmm. would say as well. But who do you have behind the plate?
Well, if it is...
You're still going with Jeff Mathis behind
the
plate?
If it is Zach Greinke, I'm giving Jeff Mathis that call. I really like what John Ryan Murphy has done in this first half. But Jeff Mathis has been able to manage this pitching staff really well the past 2 years. And he'll give you something offensively, but not... Mm-hmm. You know, that's not
right.
why he's
no,
in
I agree
there.
With you there.
But just kind of being that kind of calming presence. And then you have John Ryan Murphy coming off the bench. And
if they're an American League team, got him in DH maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So there
there's all those scenarios.
There
it's
are
hard to pick just one
yeah,
game.
Exactly. There are opportunities for him to come in and make an impact with his bat as well. So any variants?
I think I would have John Jay as my backup in left or right, not
okay.
necessarily center. I think I'd
That's
have
fair.
Chris Owings as my backup in center. I think that was the only real variance. I really like Daniel Descalso at second and Ketel Marte at shortstop. And then my backup to shortstop would be Nick Ahmed there.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, just looking at, like, where we've got the depth and trying to Yeah. Give everyone their fair share.
Probably do a very amateur version of what Tori Lavello has to do every single day.
A drawing board, and we're just...
That's the thing. Like, I would love to sit down.
Just pick the brain of
it. Well, no, just be a fly on the wall and just watch them go through that. Because when Tori Lavello is being asked questions in the media availability, you can see the wheels turning at some points, but you can also see where, you know, some of the very established reporters that are in this group asking a couple days ahead, like, hey,
right,
want to get your thoughts? And he's already like,
got it.
Oh, yeah. No, we have, I'm not going to tell you who, but we have a pretty good idea. And it's this. I want to see how far they plan ahead, what scenarios they're thinking of that may most likely never happen. But that's one of the things I just like to sit down, just fly on the wall, just watch this coaching staff work.
Here at the All-Star break, the Diamondbacks are 53-44. They are a half game back from the Dodgers here at the break from first place. But looking forward to lots of second half action. I mean, we just broke down a lot of what we've got and what we're looking forward to. Keep it on Sports360AZ.com for more Diamondbacks coverage. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.